Well, folks, we're back riding the pine. Al and I here on a beautiful Saturday morning. Well, beautiful unless your bracket's in shreds like half the country right now. Today's podcast brought to you by Uline Trash Cans because you need a good one to put your bracket in right now, folks.
Mine definitely, Rob.
I've all of mine, including ours, for the podcast, not a very good day. And then you got Stephen A. Smith out there who I think's missed like three games. Did you see Bijan Robinson was like, he was perfect through like 20 something games yesterday?
That was crazy.
But Al, we will get this morning kind of our thoughts on the first round and our picks for round two. Y'all still want to listen to those? Round two, I feel like I can pick a little bit better than round one. But Al, we'll start off today with the John Calipari stuff at Kentucky.
All right.
Have now seen for a day and a half now people they want to fire John Calipari. I get you're pissed. And I get you're mad that he's bringing in all these top recruits and you're getting bounced in the first round. I get that. But I think Kentucky fans need to understand something here. Go back to after Tubby Smith, the end of Tubby Smith to all the way to John Calipari. Now, there was Billy Gillespie in the middle of that. You were not a name in college basketball anymore. You were not getting the recruits you're getting right now. And if John Calipari leaves, you will not get those recruits again because, look, Nate Oates ain't coming to Kentucky. He's not. You're not getting Bruce Pearl. You're not getting insert name of, great coach. You're not going to get a top flight coach. You're going to have to go get a guy like a T.J. Otzenberger at Iowa State, who's a good coach, but you're not going to be happy with him. Because he'll lose one game and you'll get mad. You have unrealistic expectations because you are still living like this is 1954 and Adolph Rupp is your coach. You are not a name in college basketball anymore. Rick, this is not, 1996 with Rick Pitino. That's 30 something, almost 30 years ago. It's the game of college basketball has passed Kentucky by. It does not mean they're not still a top flight program, but to sit here and say in 2024, are they a blue blood? No, they are not.
Yeah, I think obviously NIL's changed things for sure. But really, Kentucky fans thinking they can go get, a Brad Stevens or someone like that. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to come down. That's a name I've heard a lot. Like, if Kentucky fires John Calipari, we're going to go hire Brad Stevens. It's like, first off, I think it's crazy to want to fire Coach Cal. I mean, I think he does a great just from a coaching aspect. I feel like he does a great job year in and year out, getting his team there. To be honest, it took Oakland making some ridiculous shots from what's his name, Rob?
Gokul, or however you say it.
Gokul. Yeah, Gokul. Like, dude was hit. I mean, he even banked in one. I mean, like, he hit some ridiculous shots. And to be honest, like we talked, we kind of had this conversation yesterday. The best team and the best talent, when it comes March, they don't always win. They don't always win because you have a team like Oakland who is disciplined enough to kind of play their zone defense, and they made the right shot at the right time. I know we're talking about Coach Cal. I'm just kind of maybe protecting him a little bit just to say, as good of a team as he had, to be honest, Mark, when it comes March and then comes the NCAA tournament, it's kind of an even playing field. Sometimes the best teams do not win. And I don't think one game, I know they lost at St. Peter's, but look what St. Peter's, that same St. Peter's team, Rob, they went and beat who? They went and beat Purdue. Didn't they beat UCLA as well?
Yeah, got to the Elite Eight.
No, sorry, North Carolina beat UCLA. I forgot who they beat. But I know they beat Purdue and then obviously got beat by the team that became runner up, North Carolina. So I'm just saying, like, you can't define Coach Cal's coaching career based off two performances in the NCAA tournament. That's all I'm trying to say. And that's what fans are trying to do right now. You lost to Oakland. You lost to St. Peter's. Yes, I get they were low seeds. They're playing Kentucky. But you can't define a coach off two games.
Yeah, I agree with that. It is crazy to me that we see this talk of, you know, well, Cal's never done anything here. Or he hasn't. Okay, well, then go trade coaches with anybody in the country, because let me tell you what's going to happen. All these recruits you're getting, you're not going to get any of them. You will get none of them. And I've seen it from – I had it from Mississippi State fans the other day saying, oh, Cal can't – they're recruiting those guys because of Kentucky. No, they're not. He got the same guys at Memphis, and he got the same guys at UMass, and he will take every one of those guys with him wherever he goes, because if he chooses to be employed, he would be unemployed for about 6 hours, because let me tell you who'd go hire him. Louisville. Louisville would trip over themselves to go hire John Calipari.
Well, you know who has the number two recruiting class in the country right now, Rob?
I'm sure it's Kentucky.
Kentucky. And I will say this. So they have big name coming in next year, Boogie Fland, Travis Perry. Travis Perry, kind of another Reed Shepherd type player from the state of Kentucky. I will say this, back to kind of what you were talking about earlier. So kind of remind, if you don't mind, remind people of kind of what your take was on Kentucky, how maybe things have kind of passed them by just a little bit. What were you saying about that again?
I just think that in this day and age, you know, I don't think they're a blue blood anymore. I don't think they've been a blue blood since John Calipari got there. I don't think they were one before him. I think they were one in 1996. But look at all the programs that have jumped up in the last 30 years. Connecticut. Connecticut's won, what, 4 national championships in that time frame? I mean, Duke's won 2 or 3. North Carolina's won 2 or 3. In the time period that Kentucky has won 1, they've, you know, Kansas has won 2 or 3. I mean, I think right now, you know, you look at the blue bloods, I really don't think there are many. I think UConn has won. I think, you know, Duke has won. I think Kansas has won. I think in North Carolina, I really think there may be 4. I mean,
yeah.
Let's go back to 1996. Okay, you'd probably say Syracuse is a blue blood. You would still say Kansas. You would still say North Carolina. You would probably say Duke. Krzyzewski had gotten them kind of rolling at that point. But
yeah, they'd won 2 in 91 and 92.
Yeah, but I mean, you would still, you know, Dean Smith is still roaming the sidelines at North Carolina at that point.
North Carolina won in that upset fashion in 93.
Yeah, 93. And then.
Or was that 94?
That was 93.
Yeah, 93. Yeah,
94 was Arkansas, because 95 UCLA.
Yeah, and then 96 was.
But, I mean, I think you would even say is UCLA was a blue blood at that point. Arkansas, I don't believe college basketball is like college football, where you just always – I think blue bloods are cyclical. And I really – it's probably the same for college football as well, because everybody wants to say Notre Dame's a blue blood. They ain't won a national championship since 1988. I mean, I don't think that's a blue blood. I think just
the last time they were in the playoff, and the last time they were in a championship game, look what happened to them.
Yeah, I mean, every time they get in the playoff, they get the crap beat out of it. Shocker. But you know, I really don't believe Kentucky is a blue blood. I think they're on that same tier as an Auburn or an Alabama or a Houston. Really, really good teams. But, you know, they haven't really gotten over the hump. I mean, I don't think that's due to Cal. I think it's just college basketball.
Yeah, I like that last point you said, that you were talking about referring to other teams, right, that have kind of risen their game and their level of play. I think what's made the NCAA tournament so great over the past couple years is just how much better all these teams are. I think the playing field is more level than it ever has been.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you look last night at Grand Canyon, Tyon Grant Foster, that's a Kansas recruit. Or Kansas, he committed to Kansas, and if the transfer portal's not in place, he's not able to go to a DePaul. Obviously, tragedy strikes him at DePaul, but you know, that's a guy that they kind of, these big teams, these big programs hoarded all this talent, and now with the transfer portal, you know, that stuff doesn't happen. You see a guy like a Jack Gokel at Oakland where he just wanted a chance. That's a D2 guy.
Yeah.
He comes up for a year to play at Oakland. Or
yep.
You go to, I mean, pick a team. Just find a team, and you're going to find a transfer that's really, really doing good things. I mean, I'll give you one also on that Oakland team, Rocket Watts. Rocket Watts starts at Michigan State, plays a year there, comes to Mississippi State, doesn't really do anything for us. He was injured. Goes to Oakland. Now he's playing good minutes for Oakland.
Was he number two?
I thought he was number – he was number zero for us. I was not really paying attention to him because I was watching Gokel run, look like Steph Curry running around 19 screens.
Well, really, that – I know we'll talk about Oakland here in a little bit, but back to Coach Cal. Here's one more point I want to make about this, Coach Cal. All right, Rob, 10 years ago, if you have the number one shooting guard in the country and Kentucky offers him, where do you think he's going?
He's going to Kentucky.
He's going to Kentucky. This year, 2024, you have VJ Edgecombe, 6'5", 180 from New York. You know where he's committed next year?
So I'll actually give you a story about that kid. He actually was – Mississippi State was on him and probably had him, and he blew up. He's going to Baylor, isn't he?
That's right. He's committed to Baylor. But I'm just saying, like, these kids who are top players in the country, yeah, Duke is loaded next year. They have I'm probably one of the best recruiting classes we've seen in the past 8 years that they've put together. But I'm just saying, like, all these teams now are getting good players. Like, look at the recruiting class, the top ones for next year. Missouri is number five in the country. All right. You know who has the number three recruiting class next year?
Yeah, Rutgers. I know they had the number one for the longest time. They got
that's
two.
That's right, Rutgers. With Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey coming in. So, like, I'm just trying to say, like, what you're saying is so true. Like, all these teams are getting talented players, you know? So, but then again, the coach, you know, a coach that can manage it and make, I think the key to coaching is making your three-star player begin to play like a four or five-star player. Your two-star player learning to play, you know, developing your talents.
I think Coach Cal's
going to find that mixture of, getting your superstar players, but also kind of finding those guys that are hungry and that are going to stay there for 3 to 4 years.
I think he's going to have to shift. I think he's going to have to do something he doesn't want to do, and that's go into the transfer portal and find a guard or a post player at somewhere like I'm not saying these guys are leaving, but somewhere like a New Mexico, or somewhere like a Pepperdine or a Grand Canyon. You're going to have to go find an experienced guard at one of these places, and you're going to have to hand the keys over to him instead of, you know, whoever the stud freshman he's got coming in may be. I mean, this is – you look at Calipari, he's got 4 5-stars.
It's going to be interesting. And I think Jay Wright made he made an interesting point after that game was – you know, the freshman can get you, you know, kind of maybe to the tournament, but winning the tournament, you got to have older players. But I will say, I think Coach Cal still, I think this is the time to maybe the transfer portal And obviously NIL, those things go hand in hand. Because guys are transferring because of NIL deals and obviously playing time, things like that. But I will say now, and now more than ever, teams are recruiting through the transfer portal. That opens up the high school ranks for a team and a program like a Rutgers, who people don't associate Rutgers with basketball, unless you're Jim Valvano, Rutgers basketball.
But and I'll tell you,
but I'm just saying, I think real quick, Rob, I think the transfer portal has opened up the high school recruiting for a team like Rutgers to go be a top five class in the country.
Yeah, I agree there 100%. You know, the last we'll go ahead and close this out and get to our tournament thoughts. But I think, Al, we're both on the same page that if Kentucky fires John Calipari, it would be one of the all-time dumb decisions in college basketball.
I agree. Look at then again, one of both of our favorite coaches that we've talked about for a long time, even back before, you know, 10 years ago, Rice Drew. Look at Vanderbilt, make a predetermined decision. You have Darius Garland on your team at Vanderbilt. You have some bad luck that, you know, comes your way. He gets injured. And really, after that year, Rob, we know what happened to Bryce Drew after that year. What happened? He got fired. He brought in the best point guard in the country. Granted, he was right in your backyard at Brentwood Academy in Nashville. But I'm just saying, making predetermined decisions, you know, when one bad thing happens, you know, jumping to conclusions and saying, we're going to get rid of this guy. Someone else could do better. I'm just saying, it's not always green on the other side, right?
Well, I mean, you look at that team that he has. What, three of the players get injured. I mean, he can't, you know, control them all getting injured.
Right.
You know,
and,
he
if, and control, then again, if Kentucky makes two more shots, are we having this conversation right now? You know what I mean? So then again, coaching's hard. You're putting your faith, like you said, in between 18 and 24-year-olds these days, right? But But I think I agree with you. I think if Kentucky were to get rid of Coach Cal, I think that's 4 to 5 years of them trying to find their identity again.
Yeah, and I think the people that make the decisions at Kentucky, I think they still remember Billy Gillespie. I think they still remember that time. So,
and real quick, I'm going to make one more point, and then we'll go ahead, because I think this is actually an interesting point too. All these Kentucky fans complain about Coach Cal saying, remember when Coach Cal said, it's my job, I care more about getting guys to the NBA than winning, like, the national championship? Like, he said that he is more proud of putting guys into the NBA than even winning, you know, maybe a national championship or SEC championship. And Kentucky fans go crazy about that. But you know what? I guarantee they don't mind that they can get on television and watch any NBA game and see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander balling out, Derek Booker balling out, Karl-Anthony Towns. Do you think that those guys, you know what they say? You know what's when someone asks them, what college did you play at? You know what their answer is?
Kentucky.
Kentucky. There's not many schools in the country that have that many pros in the NBA right now that are playing at that high level. I would take that and be proud to say, if I'm a recruit, you can use that for the rest of kind of your, you know, the time of your program. Like, if I want to get a kid and I have that relationship with Devin Booker, I can say, hey, do you mind, you know, I could – like, you know, all these guys have camps now. So, like, at the Devin Booker elite camp, if there's a guy that Coach Cal really wants, what do you think he can tell kind of Devin Booker? Hey, I'd love for you to really talk to this guy, kind of let him know what we're about at Kentucky. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, they get another coach in there. Does he have that type of pull and those types of resources to have to kind of say, look at the type of players I've coached? You know what I mean? That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I'll make 2 points off, 1 point off what you just said, and then 1 point we'll move on. You just said something about these players saying, you know, we're from Kentucky, or maybe talking, you know, NIL, you can do that. Talk to a player. Do Kentucky fans really think Drake gives a flying crap about their basketball program outside of John Calipari? No, but he has made about four limited edition shoes with Kentucky. I promise you, Drake does not give a crap about your basketball program. But he does give a crap about John Calipari, so he recruits for your program. He gives a crap about Billy Bob, who lives in a trailer in Owensville, Kentucky? No, he isn't shilling for you. He is for John Calipari, though. And then I'll leave you with this. This is a tweet from John Rothstein last night. And I want Kentucky fans to be weary of this. 5 years ago, Vanderbilt fired Bryce Drew after he lost Darius Garland for the season due to a knee injury. Last night, Bryce Drew leads Grand Canyon to an NCAA tournament win over St. Mary's. Vanderbilt's still looking for a coach again. Be careful what you wish for.
And look, Jerry Stackhouse, great player. How much college basketball had he coached before he got to Vanderbilt?
Zero.
I'm just saying, like, look at Juwan Howard. How much college basketball had he coached before he got to Michigan?
Zero, but at least with him, he'd been on an NBA staff. I mean, at least that you could – Stackhouse never made a lick of sense. He hadn't coached anywhere.
Well, just trying to get that NBA name. And he had an AAU team. He had Jerry Stackhouse Elite.
Oh, so, I didn't know. Okay, and he had been an assistant for like –
Yeah, so he had those grassroots connect. So then again, trying to – you have a top ranked AAU team, so you have access to players, but there's nobody that has more access to players than John Calipari. So I agree. I think they would be foolish to go after someone else. And I think he's gonna surprise. I think he'll come back and have a chance to win a national championship here in the next 4 or 5 years.
Well, Al, we'll move on now to today's games. As we, you know, we're going to do this a little bit differently than we did the last time. We're not going to go just straight down the bracket. We're actually going to go into the games today and then tomorrow. But we will start off, Al. I'm going to give my kind of thoughts of the first round of the tournament.
Yeah.
I think the biggest overarching thing I've seen is the struggles of the SEC. You and I talked about this yesterday and a little bit this morning before we started recording. You know, I don't know what the SEC needs to do. You know, you go back, I think this was 5 or 6 years ago, maybe it's longer than that, it's probably 10 now. You know, the SEC brought someone in and said, hey, you've got to schedule better. You know, you've got to schedule better to get your teams into the NCAA tournament. Well, now they're scheduling quote unquote better, but I don't think they're scheduling tougher. And I think that's what's causing them to struggle the way they are. I mean, let's go down. Let's take Auburn, for example. Okay, Auburn first game of the year. They played Baylor. That's a great game. That is an awesome
close game too. I remember watching it. They played out in South Dakota.
Played a one-off out in South Dakota. That's a great team to play to start your season. Then they play Selah. Then they play Notre Dame and St. Bonaventure in the Legends Classic in Brooklyn. Now, I will give you some grace. Those games are usually 2 to 3 years in advance. You don't know what those teams are going to be.
Yeah, and real quick, like a Notre Dame, I will say this, just so people understand. Under Armour sponsors Auburn. Under Armour sponsors Notre Dame. So a lot of times, those types of shoe companies and those apparel, like, you know, Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, they link those games up. You know what I mean? So that's definitely an Under Armour thing to have Auburn and Notre Dame play.
Well, okay, and so we'll move ahead now. You know, then they get Alabama A&M. Then they play in the ACC-SEC Challenge. They get Virginia Tech. Well, the ACC was terrible this year. Again, that's not Auburn's fault. But, okay, then you go to Appalachian State.
It was not a bad team this year.
Wasn't a bad team, but they lose. And
Auburn
then you go
lost to them?
Yeah, lost by 5 in Boone.
Really? Wow, I didn't know that.
Then you play Indiana, who was terrible. Obviously, you're not going to know that. But then you play USC, Alabama State, Chattanooga, Penn. And then you don't play anybody else except SEC teams.
So their toughest game on that schedule was Baylor, right?
Baylor, the first game of the year in a neutral site that you lose.
Yeah.
Now, you take a Tennessee. Tennessee's a little bit different. They go to Wisconsin. Then they go to Maui. Then they go to North Carolina. Then they get Illinois at home. Go play North Carolina State in San Antonio. You want to know why they won? It's because they went out and challenged themselves. They went out and brought an Illinois in. They went out and played a North Carolina State. They went out and played a North Carolina. You know, they went to Maui, play Syracuse, Purdue, Kansas. They go to Wisconsin the second game of the year. Like, those are the types of games that you look at. Okay, you want to know why you're winning in March? It's you're not scared of those moments of those teams.
Yeah.
Or you take a Bama. You know, Bama, Indiana State. Then they go to the Emerald Coast Classic. They play Ohio State and Oregon. Then they get Clemson. They go play Purdue in Toronto. They go to Creighton. They play Arizona out in Phoenix. You know, that's the type of stuff. You look, and who are the two SEC teams? Or where we're about to look at A&M, and I'll give you their schedule. It's the same thing. It's these teams that go out and challenge themselves in the non-conference that are winning in March, and the teams that don't are not.
So here's one stat for you, Rob. Strength of schedule right now, you know, has the fifth strength of schedule right now in the country.
I would guess it's probably going to be like Michigan State or somebody like that.
Or thinking SEC. Think SEC.
Tennessee?
Alabama.
Okay.
So Alabama's at 5. You know who has the 12th best?
Probably Tennessee.
Tennessee. You know who's at 17th best?
A&M.
Texas A&M. The three schools that won their first round game in the SEC had the top three hardest schedules, strength of schedule in the country in the SEC. So the top three, Alabama 5, Tennessee 12, Texas A&M 17. And just then again, coming from like a coaching mindset, if I have 30 practices to prepare for my first game, Rob, and I see that I have to play Kansas the very first game of the season, how do you think those 30 practices are going to go? What's going to be the mindset of your team?
We got to be ready from day one. We got to be ready from the jump.
Exactly. Exactly right. And your identity comes in those 30 practices. Like, your team identity comes in those 30 practices before your first game. Those are the practices of your season. So if I know that I'm getting them ready to play one of the top teams in the country, that whole preparation is just magnified, and every practice means more. So a Tennessee playing Wisconsin game 2, you know, in the back of my mind and back of their mind, that's what they're preparing for in that preseason. You know what I mean? So I think you're right. I think these games they played in November and December, they matter a ton.
Which is so funny because all you hear all off season and all early season games don't matter. That's okay, you know, whatever. That we're now seeing they do. And, you know, when you're in conference play, all you're hearing is, oh, well, that, you know, the SEC is a good conference. Well, how do we know that? We don't. You know, we're listening to a bunch of metrics, and you now know who is propping up those metrics. Tennessee, Alabama, A&M. Those are the three teams that prop up these metrics. And I'll tell you a story about Alabama. I watched them against Mississippi State early in the year in Starkville. Mississippi State had just beaten Tennessee, big win.
Yep.
And Alabama comes into the hump. It is sold out. It is rocking. And Mississippi State just, I mean, hitting all the momentum early, hitting all the shots. Alabama never flinched. There was not a flinch there. And now you look back and you think, okay, well, they didn't flinch because they knew. They had been in that situation before.
They had played North Carolina. They played North Carolina?
Yeah, they had played North Carolina. They played – no, Tennessee had played North Carolina. Alabama had played
Purdue and Arizona, I know.
Yeah, they had played Purdue. And then, well, you also – they went to Creighton.
That's right. That's the other – yeah. So, I think I was thinking
you were thinking of Tennessee, who went to North Carolina.
To North Carolina. Alabama played Arizona. That's the game I remember watching on neutral site.
And I remember everybody – Alabama had lost 3 of 4 at one point. They lost Purdue in Toronto, at Creighton, Arizona in Phoenix, and then they'd beaten Eastern Kentucky. And everybody – Alabama's not going to make the tournament this year. They just lost to number 3, number 11, and number 9. I think they're going to be okay. Then I think they reel off 4 straight to start SEC play, and they were rolling. Because I remember when Mississippi State played them, all our fans were saying, well, their record's not that good. And you start digging into it, and you're thinking, hold on just a second. Like, this team's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And another thing, let's take in A&M. You wanted to talk about A&M. And, you know, A&M doesn't have the greatest record, 21-14 on the year. They got really hot at the end of the year. But look at what they did. They go to Ohio State to start the year. They go to SMU. Obviously, SMU doesn't end up being a great win, but not a bad one. They play in the ESPN Events Invitational. They get Penn State, FAU, Iowa State. They go to Virginia to play. They bring Memphis to College Station when Memphis still was playing good. They play Houston in Houston, not at Houston, but playing in Houston. Like, those are the type of games you need to be playing. It's those one-off games. It's not the games against, you know, in these tournaments where, hey, you may end up with a shocker where you get, you know, somebody of less, you know, value. But those are the types of games you got to be playing, because in March, those games matter.
Yep, you really do. You really have to treat every game like it's a tournament game from the very first game. Like, you got to kind of instill that, like, not all or nothing, but, like, when it comes to tournament, right now, it is all or nothing. It's win, keep playing. It's lose or go home. So you kind of have to start from game one instilling a little bit of that pressure of every possession matters. And I think playing these games early kind of instills that in your team. You know what I mean?
I agree. And
you have to win tough games to win a championship.
Let's look at two teams who, you know, didn't make it out of the first round. I'm just going to pick them. Obviously, I have a rooted interest in one of them, but let's start with South Carolina. South Carolina's 26-8 on the year. They were a 6th seed in the tournament. Let's look at their schedule. South Carolina upstate, Virginia Tech and Charlotte. Now, they did go out to Arizona. They played DePaul and played Grand Canyon. Okay, that's a good game. But they get Notre Dame in the ACC.
How'd they do against Grand Canyon?
They beat them. Beat them by 7.
Okay.
You know, they get Notre Dame in the ACC, SEC Challenge.
Beat Clemson.
They win at Clemson. That's a great win. But, you know, they play South Carolina upstate, net 303. VMI, who was 1-28 on the year, net 358. DePaul, net 320. George Washington, net 192. East Carolina, net 189. Charleston Southern, net 315. Elon net 310, Florida Atlantic net, Florida A&M net 341, Winthrop net 181. And you want to know why a team like that gets beat in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah. No, you're right.
I'll take Mississippi State, for example. I know our schedule backwards and forwards. You know, okay, so we start the year Arizona State. Now, we don't know Arizona State's going to be crappy, but regardless, here's another thing. These teams have to say, okay, well, what if that team's not good? We better build one we know is going to be good into our schedule.
Yeah.
But, you know, then Mississippi State, Tennessee Martin, North Alabama. Now, we did go out to Uncasville, Connecticut. We played Washington State and Northwestern. Those were two really good teams.
Yeah.
Two tournament teams. So we get lucky there. But then Nicholls at Georgia Tech, which, again, that's SEC, ACC challenge. We didn't really have too much of a choice there. But we get beaten that. Then we play Southern, and unfortunately we get beat.
Southern Miss?
No, Southern University. Yeah, that game cost us a seed line. That we went from being – we would have been a 7, then we were an 8 and had to play Michigan State.
Yeah.
You know, Tulane, you play them in Atlanta. You know, again, that's –
how bad did y'all win that game?
Well, that was our high-scoring game of the year, 106-76. We beat ever-living snot out of them. But it's like even those games like that, you know, why if you're a Mississippi State do you say, yeah, we'll play Tulane? I think the SEC needs to go say, okay, well, we're going to go play DePaul, or we're going to go play Xavier, and we're going to go to their place. Because let me tell you, you walk into those basketball towns, that's a game. That's a game you need in March.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Know, but it's hard. It's so hard to, like, find that balance, you know, of, you know, playing kind of teams that you want to play to kind of, you know, maybe get that win, but also playing teams that challenge you. But I think there can be some terms and conditions put in these major conferences. And I think have an alliance with, like, the SEC can have an alliance with the American Conference and say, hey, one of our teams will play one of your teams. You know, almost have like these SEC, you know, you have the ACC, SEC Challenge. All these leagues can kind of come together and really find games for each other.
Well, you know, I think a good thing for the SEC would be to go to someone like the Big East. The Big East is a basketball factory. Bring a UConn to Tennessee. Or, you know, let Alabama go to UConn, or, you know, let Florida go play St. John's, or Kentucky. Let Kentucky and St. John's go play in MSG. Like, you want that sell tickets?
Yeah, instead of just the SEC playing the ACC year in and year out now, let them rotate. Let the ACC now go play the Big Ten. Or they already did that. Let the ACC go play the Big 12. Let the ACC play the Big East. Let the Big 10 play the SEC. You know what I mean? I think rotate that. Do you think that'd be a good idea? Something to kind of expose teams to different leagues?
I think a good thing the SEC did, and I hate they stopped it, was right in the middle of conference play. You had a non-conference. The SEC Big 12 Challenge was right in the middle of conference play. You had a non-conference game. I thought them doing the ACC-SEC Challenge at the beginning of the year took some luster out of it. I mean,
I agree.
Imagine that the North Carolina-Tennessee game was good, but Dalton Connect, nobody knew about Dalton Connect. Imagine that game at the end of January. That would have been like number 3 Tennessee versus number 4 North Carolina. Dalton Connect versus Armando Bacot, that would have been a huge game.
Yeah, play that really good non-conference game in like February.
Correct.
You know what? Look at what Gonzaga, I will say Gonzaga and Kentucky, they played each other late in the year, remember, in February.
They did.
And I think that was, I think, then again, I think that's Coach Cal knowing he's going to have to play a tournament style team like that when he gets to, you know, the NCAA tournament. So I think that was a very strategically smart game for both. And I think if Gonzaga does not win that game,
they're not in the tournament.
They don't have the confidence that they're playing with right now.
I don't think Gonzaga's in the tournament without that game.
Which is crazy to think about because, man, did they look good on Thursday night.
I agree. So, Al, I think my second point I'm going to make is UConn showed us why they are the best team in the country. I think if anybody had any doubt they were the best team in the country, they showed it yesterday. I mean, Dan Hurley's out there getting mad. He said, we didn't have a good last 4 minutes. They were up 40. And he's complaining. That is why they're on another level from everybody else right now.
That's how you got to be, though. I loved when he said that because, like, then again, coming from a coaching aspect, I've been coaching, I guess, now 10 years, probably coached over 500 games now, it really in just 10 years, which is crazy to think about. Haven't won a lot of them, but coached them. But I think that point right there, Rob, it's all about getting your team to peak at the right time. And that being said, he knew that with them playing a team like Stetson, he knew going to that game, I can coach these guys really hard. You know what I mean? So I think what I'm saying is when you're the better team, coaching your team harder in those games. You know what I mean? And then when you're playing a team that's kind of your equivalent, maybe kind of stepping off the gas a little bit and really encouraging and just getting them to play with confidence. Use a game like Stetson when you're up 40 to really nitpick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that was actually a strategically smart move just because he knows that they're going to have to really be hitting on all cylinders if they're going to, you know, continue to win. They're not going to just waltz their way to the championship in this. It's too hard to win it twice.
I agree. And my next point is, and I talked with you about this yesterday, Arizona reminds me of last year's UConn. I think they're peaking at the perfect time. They look really, really good. It just seemed like everything Long Beach State threw at them. It reminded me of last year's Iona UConn first round game because Long Beach State threw everything they had at Arizona in the first half. We're only down six. Arizona just came out in the second half, did what they do.
Yep. They have, so it's funny, like a Larson, Pell Larson, he's kind of like your caravan. You know what I mean? What's the big guy's name, Rob?
Balo.
Balo, yeah. So, yeah, Omar Balo, 7 foot center. He's kind of like your Sanogo. And then you have a player, you have a Lithuanian coming off the bench, 7'2" center. He's like Krivas. He's like your Klingon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then obviously you have Boswell, and then you have Caleb Love. So Caleb Love's kind of like your Hawkins from last year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I agree.
They kind of have, or Tristan Newton. You kind of put them in that same category because Caleb Love can play on the ball, off the ball. Kind of like a Hawkins, I guess. I agree. I think Arizona hitting that bump in the road last year against Princeton, in a way, you kind of need that sometimes, you know, just to kind of wake up a little bit of a wake up call. But I agree. I think you making that comparison was a really smart, just a smart thing to think about. That I know a lot of people are not talking about.
And Al, our final point of the afternoon or of the first round, and we'll move on to the second round. I'm going to give you a chance here, and I'll say it too. Who do you believe had the best first round win? Who do you think was the best first round win, most impressive?
That's actually a really, really good question. I have a couple teams in mind. I'm just
Yeah, you
gonna
go ahead. Go with two.
I'm gonna pick two.
Okay.
I'm gonna pick two. Baylor and James Madison.
All right, I like both those picks.
Look,
I like
look. The average fan, Colgate is a very well-coached team. And Colgate, I guarantee if Colgate played Baylor again, that game might be a little bit closer because Colgate can make shots. But I think when you're coming out, when you hit 17, I'll repeat again, when you hit 17 threes in a game, that's something to keep your eye out on. And you have a coach that has won and been there. They won a Baylor won a national championship back in 2021. They did it a couple years ago. Obviously, they have an injury to their big, but I think just when I see a team that hits 17 threes in the first round, and they've played in the Big 12 all year and played in that gauntlet, and they're peaking at the right time, I think that's a team to look out for. And then James Madison, a lot of people they see 31 wins and they think to themselves, weak conference. That's what they think to themselves. They think, oh, they didn't play in a tough conference, but they from start to finish control the tempo of the game and just, they had Wisconsin's number from the moment the referee put that ball in the air. They forced 27 points off turnovers. 27 of their points came from turning Wisconsin over. So I think that's just a very, very eye-opening thing to see. You know what I mean?
I agree with both those. I actually was going to say, James Madison was going to be one of mine. For mine, I have so many different directions I could go. You know, I think Grand Canyon had a very impressive win late last night. I think Oregon had an impressive win against South Carolina. I think, NC State looked very, very impressive in their game. I thought A&M looked good. But the two teams I want to focus on, number one, Illinois. I thought Illinois was a little bit fraudish. I think I said that Wednesday night. They turned it on. They hit another level against Morehead State on Thursday. That if they can maintain that type of play, that's a dangerous team as we move forward in this tournament.
Yeah, they have a lot of toughness, and that stems from their coach, Brad Underwood. You know, just that toughness mindset.
I think that was an impressive win. They're going to go as far as Terrence Shannon takes them. That's not shocking anybody. But if you can get the performance like you got from a role player off the bench like Dane Danger, who is, I think he was 9 of 9. That's really, really good. That's a post player, but 9 of 9, 21 points. That's the kind of performances you need from people in the in this tournament. And the second team I want to go to is a team we talked about, and I know you're high on them, and I'm high on them as well. It's Creighton. Just the balance they showed in their game against Akron. I mean, you go through the box score and you look at this team and say, any of these guys could go off on any night. You talked about him Thursday or a Wednesday, Mason Miller, the sophomore, Mike Miller's son. He goes for 10. You have then Nimhard. You get him scoring. Kalkbrenner, Baylor Shireman. You go down the list. Every one of them has, not Nimhard, I'm sorry. I was thinking of Alexander, my bad. Alexander had 19. Shireman 15, at Stephen Ashworth, the transfer from Utah State, he has 10. And then I think their X factor for this tournament is Kalkbrenner. I don't know that many teams are going to be able to match up with him inside. He's 23 and 8. He's able to step out and shoot threes, but their balance that they showed, I think, should be a warning shot to anybody out there in the NCAA tournament.
That's actually a really good point. I'm gonna throw some stats real quick just to kind of go along with what you said, which is very interesting because you're talking about one word you used was just the efficiency of Creighton. You know, if I would have told you, Rob, that just based off this stat, if I would have told you that Akron shot the ball 66 times and Creighton shot the ball only 46 times, just off that stat, who do you think would have won that game?
You'd say Akron.
Akron shot 20 more shots than Creighton in that game. But you know how many field goals Creighton had?
Oh, 26.
26. Akron had 25. So Creighton, which is crazy, Creighton had 20 less shots, but made the most of those 46 possessions. You know what I mean? So just being efficient. One thing that worries me a little bit is the 14 turnovers. I'm going to kind of say that's, you know, first game jitters in NCAA tournament. But one thing that is very eye-opening for their success, rebounding and free throws. All right? They shot 20 free throws. They got almost 40 rebounds. There's a common theme here that I hope people will pay attention to. 40-20. If you get 40 rebounds and 20 free throw attempts in a game, your chances of going up, your chances of winning go up dramatically. So I think that's something to really, you know, look out for Creighton.
I agree. And I do agree with you that the turnovers are a little bit concerning, but I believe Creighton, I just really believe they are going to be a team that's going to be a force to be reckoned with in the NCAA.
Absolutely. I think that's a good team. Illinois and Creighton. I like those teams a lot.
So, Al, now we will move into picking today's games.
Oh, man.
So, we'll start with the first game of the day, starting here in about 45 minutes, is going to be Dayton and Arizona. You know, Al, we just talked about this Dayton team, so I don't think you're going to go any differently. Or this Arizona team, I'm sorry. I'm going Arizona here. Are you going the same?
Yeah, I'm going Arizona. I'm going to pick them. I think Arizona wins by 12.
Okay. All right. I got Arizona by 10.
Yeah, I think Arizona – I think this is what I think happens. I think Arizona gets out to a lead. Dayton battles back and makes it a little bit of a game. And then just over the stretch of the game, Arizona just has too much firepower.
So now we'll go to Gonzaga, Kansas. This could be a great game. I still don't have any faith in Kansas, and that's why I'm picking Gonzaga here.
This is crazy. I'm going to pick Kansas.
Okay. Gonzaga is a 3-point favorite. So interesting
there. The only reason I'm going to pick Kansas is because I think Kansas has the bigs to match up with a Gonzaga. I think that's one thing McNeese State showed they did not have. And I think that Bill Self is funny, just watching Bill Self right now and watching what his teams are doing offensively, Bill Self's going to really control the tempo of the game. They're going to run a set on every play. They're going to slow the game down, play the ball through Hunter Dickinson, and really lean on him to get them to the Sweet 16. So I'm actually going to pick Kansas.
I agree. I love your reasoning. I agree with what you're saying. I'm still picking Gonzaga. I just think without McCullough, I think Kansas is going to struggle. They struggled the other night, and I think Gonzaga can play that way that Samford did. Because look, Samford controlled the tempo of that ball game. They controlled the tempo. I think Gonzaga will do the same.
I like that. I love the Zags. It's going to be a fun game.
So next game, Michigan State, North Carolina. I got an up close look at this Michigan State team. They are really good. However, they shot lights out, and they shot better than they've shot all year. North Carolina's going to win this. North Carolina, I think North Carolina may be one of the better teams in the country.
I like North Carolina too. It's crazy. They're only a 3.5-point favorite. even though Michigan State brought back all those guys from last year, this whole season I was just so like disappointed with them because I thought they'd be a lot better. That's why I picked Mississippi State. I thought Mississippi State would be the tougher team. To be honest, the toughness part and the defensive part had nothing to do with that game. It's what you said. It's that Michigan State played really well on offense, made a lot of shots, made a lot of tough contested late clock situation shots. But I think today, I think too much size from North Carolina, too much firepower. That's my word of the day, firepower. I think North Carolina gets the job done as well.
So now we'll move on. Washington State, Iowa State. You know, we had picked – I think we picked Drake when this – no. We picked Iowa State. We picked Iowa State.
Oh, yeah, we picked Iowa State. We picked Drake over Washington State.
Yeah, I got Iowa State in this. Otzenberger, I don't think – you know, they looked really good in the first round. Washington State, honestly, pretty lucky to win their game. Drake just went absolutely cold for the second straight year. And I think Iowa State carries him.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Iowa State, they're playing better than anybody in the country right now. Coming off that Big 12 championship, played really well against South Dakota State. Had to fight through a little bit of adversity, even though they won by 20, I think. But I think that's good. South Dakota State came back, made it a game, kind of put Iowa State through a gut check a little bit, you know, and they came out and responded big. I think Iowa State plays really well as a team, and I think that's going to carry them through today's round
and
get them to the Sweet 16.
I agree. So now the next game, Oakland, NC State. I talked to you about Oakland the other night, and I really, truly believe that, you know, they got hot. I don't think Gokul's going to have the game he had. Look, that's a guy that scored triple his average. That guy in Cole scored double his average. I just don't know that they have – I don't know that they can score like that again. Now, look at it this way. Their coach told them they expected to be here. So I think they're playing with confidence, but I still think NC State, I think they're playing with just irrational confidence right now.
I'm going to be that guy right now, and I'm going to pick Oakland. And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay, go ahead.
Oakland's going to play their little matchup zone, and they're going to force the big for NC State to kick the ball out. They're going to get it. They're going to double him. When the moment he catches it, a double team's coming. They're going to kick the ball out, make it force him to kick the ball out. I think that NC State's not going to make enough shots today.
Okay.
And I think that Oakland's ability to run their offense and control the tempo is going to lead them to victory.
All right, Al, next game on the schedule, Texas-Tennessee. I think this could be one of the better games of the evening. You got a Tennessee team that, it's like we were talking about earlier in the podcast, their team is very battle-tested. They've been through the ringer. However, I have seen them go cold. They went cold in the SEC tournament against Mississippi State. You know, if Dalton Kinnaert's not hitting, this team could be in trouble. And, you know, Texas, they're scary. Max Asemus can go off on anybody. And Rodney Terry's a heck of a coach. All that said, I have Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm picking Tennessee. What did Viscovi do the other night?
6 points.
Okay, so they need to get
I
him
still
going.
I still think he's got to score. He's got to start scoring.
I think Tennessee, I know Texas has some size. I think Ziegler and Max Abemus kind of cancel each other out. So I think Ziegler can guard him and contain him.
Okay.
I think that kind of takes Texas out of their flow and kind of their offensive rhythm. And I think that Tennessee's bigs are maybe a little more physical, can kind of play a little more bully ball in the post. And I think that's going to allow them to kind of get some of those offensive rebound type baskets, if that makes sense. I think it's going to be an ugly game. I think it's going to be a physical game because I think Texas wants to play that way, but I think Tennessee can still win in that manner. So I think they win the game.
All right. And now we got Duke. It is Duquesne, by the way. It's Duquesne. Yeah. So I had it right the first time. Duquesne and Illinois. The Dukes are a great story. They're a great story, but Illinois wins this.
I think so, too. Duquesne, though, I will say they play really well defensively. They have some, you know, kind of some sneaky, you know, length and athleticism. But I think Illinois, I agree. I think they're too well coached. They've played too many tough games throughout the season. They're prepared to beat a team like Duquesne tonight.
Duquesne does carry a 9-game win streak into this game. But I think the ride ends for the Dukes here. I got Illinois.
I like Illinois too.
So I think it's the last game of the night. Should be. Yeah, it's going to be Oregon and Creighton. You know, Dana Altman, again, he wins in the NCAA tournament. It's a tale as old as time. Also, you talked about the committee loving these types of matchups. We didn't even talk about Rick Barnes playing Texas for the first time since he got let go. But here's one. Dana Altman now returns to coach against Creighton, the school he led for close to 20 years.
Yep.
I mean, this matchup.
He coached Kyle Korver.
Yeah, he did. This matchup is going to be good. I think, you know, Altman's going to be able to take away a lot of stuff Creighton can do. However, he can't take it all away. That's why I think Creighton wins this ball game.
I think Creighton, I really want to pick Oregon just because of what you said about Coach Altman. I really respect Coach Altman. They're going to run. Then again, they're going to run their kind of 1-2-2 tempo defense, keep the guys in front of them. They're going to run their little matchup zone. I think Kalkbrenner is just too big down low.
Well, my other thing with this is, you know, Oregon beat South Carolina by 14. Okay, you know, great game. You won. But, I mean, you had 40 from Jermaine Cuisenard. Are you going to get 40 again from him? No, this guy scores 16 a ball game. That's really good, but he just over doubled his average against, you know, South Carolina. And then you look at the center, Dante, who in Fale Dante, he's 6'11". You know, South Carolina doesn't have a lot of size, so he was able to eat them up. He had 23. I don't think he's going to be able to. He can't do what he did to them against Kalkbrenner. You just brought up Kalkbrenner being an X factor. I think he's the difference in the game, and that's why I think Creighton wins and advances to the Sweet 16.
And they've been there. This same team has experienced this same thing last year. You know what I mean? And just think they were a possession away from really being in San Diego State's shoes and being in that Final Four.
Correct.
I think wasn't there a controversial call in that game, right?
There was a controversial call right at the end of that game.
Yeah, what was it again? Do you remember?
I can't quite remember. I remember the call. I remember watching the ball game, but I don't remember the exact call of what it was.
Yeah. Obviously, Nembhard leaving and going to Gonzaga from them was a big loss, I thought, just because of the pace he played at, his passing ability. But I think you substitute a Steven Ashworth in, he's kind of primed for the NCAA tournament because he can make 2 to 3 threes in this game to really get them over the top.
Correct.
Is that all of them? Is that all the games
for
today?
That's eight games tonight.
Wow. Do you want to pick the games for Sunday, or do you want to wait and
let's go ahead and run through them real quick. Let me get that up real quick. I had the Saturday games up. So Sunday, first game out of the gate is Colorado Marquette. I'm going to pick the upset here.
I kind of like Colorado.
I do too. I'm going to pick the upset. Go Colorado here.
I'm going to go Colorado.
Man,
Lambkin Jr., that dude's a load inside.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
And I don't think Marquette has the bigs to play against him.
No, they definitely do not. And you just don't look. Kolick's still working his way back. I think Colorado wins this game.
I agree. And I think Colorado is showing us they can win in multiple ways. Florida, I think Colorado's a better defensive team than maybe what it showed yesterday. I think Florida just played great offensively, made a bunch of shots. I think Colorado can win scoring 102 like they did yesterday, and they can win scoring 60. So I think they can win in a multiple kind of multitude of ways. And I think they're going to – I like Colorado in that game against Marquette.
I agree. Next game, Utah State, Purdue. Love this Utah State team and what they were able to do last night against TCU. Again, I'm going to be honest. It looks like they're going to let Edie get away with murder in this tournament. So I just don't have any faith that they have anyone who can stop him. I got Purdue, as much as I hate to say that.
Utah State changed the game when they switched their 1-3-1. I don't think that 1-3-1 does what it did to TCU. I think Purdue has enough shooters to really kind of bail them out, you know, when it comes to making some quick threes against that 1-3-1 from the corner. And they have Edie to rebound. I think one thing that hurts the 1-3-1 is offensive rebounding. I think Edie gets enough of those to win that game. I don't think they have the players to guard Edie inside. So I think Purdue wins that game.
All right. So now we'll move on to the third game of that day, which will be James Madison and Duke. I love James Madison. I would love to pick them right here, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think that's why I have to pick Duke.
Yeah. I like Duke too. I just think how do you say his name?
Filipowski.
Yeah, Filipowski. And, you know, I think their guard play, I think Duke's guard play, they're not going to turn the ball over like Wisconsin did. Jerry McCain and Proctor. So I think Duke gets the job done. I think it's going to be a tight game, though. I think it's going to be like in the 60s. I think it's like a 67-62 type game.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Clemson-Baylor. This is a game right in your backyard. I think this is going to be
a great. I'm trying to go tomorrow, Rob.
You can't go.
I think I'm going to get down there for it.
I think this is a wildly entertaining ball game. Everybody kind of counted Clemson out, and man, they looked really good the other night. However, Scott Drew and Baylor have been here before, and I think that matters. And so that's why I have Baylor.
I like Baylor too, Rob. I think Baylor's athleticism makes them a tough out. I think they're going to be able to guard Clemson better than what New Mexico gave them. So I think Baylor's – I know people aren't talking about Baylor's defense, but I think Baylor's defense is going to win them the game tomorrow against Clemson.
Yeah. Look, we both know Baylor can shut people down if they decide to do it. And, you know, that's why you would – it would be hard for me to ever pick against Baylor. Now a game that I think could be wildly entertaining. Grand Canyon and Alabama.
I already knew you were going to this one.
I really, really want to pick Grand Canyon because, you know, there's a lot to love about that team. The only problem is they got to play Alabama, and I think Alabama just has too many horses. I really do. I just think they have too many horses.
Yeah. I think Alabama can make enough threes to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, how many did they make last night? What was it? 13 or 14?
They scored what, 109?
Yeah, 100. Yeah, 100. I think they scored 106. No, 109 to 96, which is incredible for an NCAA tournament game that didn't even go into overtime. But
Let's see
let's
how
see.
many.
They had last night they were 13 to 23 from 3-point range.
Yeah.
They took 60 shots. College of Charleston took 78 shots.
It's crazy. Charleston, when I think about, 40-20, 40 rebounds, over 20 free throws, Charleston had that, but then again, Alabama hit four more twos and three more threes. So there's the game right there. There's eight, nine. Yeah, so there's kind of your 13-point difference right there, is just hitting three more threes, really.
Yeah. So then we'll have Northwestern UConn. We just talked about this game. Northwestern's a great story. UConn.
They're
That's
down
easy,
too many.
that's an easy pick.
They're down too many starters, Rob, to compete in that game. I think UConn wins that game by 20.
I do too. I think UConn rolls. They're a 14.5-point favorite, which is the largest line of the second round.
And we both agreed on Alabama over Grand Canyon, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Now Texas A&M in Houston. I'm gonna tell you, A&M looked really impressive yesterday. If Houston cannot control tempo, A&M's going to give them problems.
Yeah.
However, I think they can control tempo. If I was a betting person, I would hate the 9.5-point line they're giving Houston. I'd probably take A&M to be closer to 9.5, but I do still have Houston in that one.
Well, I have Houston too. They've already played each other. A&M comes into the game with confidence because they played them very close. But I think Houston in the NCAA tournament, they're going to shut down Wade Taylor. I think Jamal Shedd comes in that game and says, guys, I'm not going to even think about, which he will. He's a scorer. He's an offensive player. But I think he says, guys, I'm going to win us this game on defense, and I'm going to lock Wade Taylor up. And I think Houston wins the game. I think Houston ends up pulling away late in the fourth quarter to win that game.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. And now the last game of the night, Yale and San Diego State.
I think San Diego State wins that game. I just think they have too much experience coming from playing a national championship team. I think they're going to win the game. I think Brian Dutcher has them ready, mindset wise, to win that game.
So I'm actually going to go another direction. I think Yale gets it done. I really like this Yale team James Jones has. They showed a lot of character and heart and just not really ever, giving up yesterday in that game against Auburn. I mean, they were literally down the entire game and just hung around and hung around and hung around. And I have not seen yet that San Diego State can go deliver a knockout punch against anybody. That's why I give Yale the advantage here. I think Yale gets it done and gets to the Sweet 16.
I like that pick. I like it. I think it's going to be a fun game. I think the cool thing about where we are right now in this tournament, every game is going to be competitive, I think. I think the only game that maybe gets a little out of hand is that UConn-Northwestern game.
Yeah, no, that I agree with. I think that game gets
But I think every game can go either way. So I think 15 of these 16 games are going to be a battle to the end.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to it. And we have a good, what, 20 minutes till tip off?
We have 20 minutes till tip. Well, Al, it has been fun. We will be back with everybody either tomorrow night or Monday afternoon to go over the second round and kind of preview the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. Al, it's been fun.
It's been awesome. Looking forward to seeing what this tournament holds today and tomorrow, and seeing what Cinderella teams can keep the momentum going. Even though, remember, ladies and gentlemen, Oakland is not a Cinderella.